listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, August the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. And as is our custom, we're going to be taking a look at the various readings for this coming Sunday, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, September the 2nd, 2018. Readings are from Psalm 119, Deuteronomy 4, Ephesians 6, and Mark 7. The one we're going to be examining at this point is Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So, how do we go about doing that? We do not understand if God would speak in His own language. What I mean by that is it would be way beyond our understanding. So what God instead does, He uses analogies, metaphors, similes to describe what His will is for us. And in this particular chapter, it is the well-known, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to be standing against the schemes of the devil. Whole armor of God. I'm not sure where I was at. It was at a store or maybe a garage sale. And there was this little, it wasn't a statue, it was about 5 feet tall. And it had Roman armor on it. So I bought it. And I used it to show the kids what God is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Namely, put on the whole armor of God. It's made out of tin or metal of some nature, and it's real easy. It's very light to carry around. So let's see what is this armor. But before we do that, what's the purpose of the armor? Verse 11 already told us it is to stand against the schemes of the devil. Schemes. The devil is really manipulative in a bad sense. Remember even Adam? Oh, God doesn't want you to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you will become like God. Oh, we will? And therefore, that's the motivation in sinning against God. And that's still true today. You never do a sin where you don't think you are God. Because every time you do a sin, you're going against the commands of God. And when you go against the commands of God, guess what? You think you're God. That's why the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is broken every time you sin the other nine commandments. Doesn't matter what they are. You are setting yourself up as God. Every sin is an act of idolatry. Now, Paul continues in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, there's no doubt that that does occur sometimes, where we're wrestling against other human beings. But behind them is the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, about whom is he speaking? I've often asked the question, how many angels are named in the Bible? And most people will say two. They know of Gabriel and Michael. What they forget about is a third angel named. His name is Satan. But of course, they don't think of him as an angel because for them, angels are good beings and Satan is an evil. But remember, he was an angel that rebelled against God. And he has a number of names, Satan and Lucifer, Beelzebub. He is indeed the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. So that many a time, like Adam and Eve, we're tempted by the devil as Jesus was, except we often fall into that temptation. So what's this armor of God that I've been talking about that looks like a Roman soldier armed to the teeth, so to speak, that when you have it, you're able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm? The idea of the armor begins with verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, it was a belt that was worn around the waist, and God is using that to refer to having truth. Remember what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does he mean by that? The old Adam has a view of the world that is contrary to God's view of the world. How do we know that? Because Jesus gives a view of the world that is not what our old Adam thinks. We're going to be examining that even more tomorrow with the hymn, along with our helper, Reverend Mark Smith. And we're going to find out that grace, not works, is what saves us. We're going to explain what the word grace means, and we're going to see all the benefits of what grace is. Every other religion in the world does not agree with this hymn tomorrow, because every other religion in the world is work righteousness. And so you can go kind of down any street in the United States of America, stop someone saying you're doing interviews of a religious nature. What do you believe is necessary for somebody to go to heaven? And I'll tell you, 90% of the people are going to say, well, you really need to be a good person. That's really interesting to hear that, because works is the way of salvation. That's not what Jesus the truth says. And if you have that view, you're always going to be afraid of dying. Yesterday at the congregation I was at, one of them, preached at two of them, there was a baptism of a woman who's been waiting for years to be baptized. And you could just see the joy on her face. She was in the Bible class, and I asked her if she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which she did. And I said, well, therefore, if you die tonight, die right now, before baptism, are you going to go to heaven or hell? And she says, I hope I'm going to heaven. I said, you don't have to hope, because through faith in Jesus Christ, God has promised that heaven is your home. And then I said, then why are you being baptized if you're already going to heaven, if you already have faith? And the answer to that I gave her was that in baptism, God attaches promises. Remember, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is God's method of taking the benefits of Christ from the cross and applying them to you for sure. So, I made the point that prior to baptism, you kind of got to rely on your faith. Yeah, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. But our faith sometimes is weak. And we look at our works and say, boy, I don't deserve to go to heaven. That's why baptism is given, because God makes promises in baptism that we can now rely on. And then we had a little discussion on whether we should say, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I was baptized, or I am baptized. And we came clearly on the side, I am baptized, which means I'm still getting all the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection in my life. So having the truth, the belt of truth, is really important because it gives you an understanding of reality that simply is not that of the old Adam. Next, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, why would they wear a breastplate? Oftentimes it was of metal, and police wear them today. What do we refer them as? Well, they're kinds of shields against bullets. And a lot of times I was watching Closer, and they were going to go get a criminal, and everybody had to put on their vest, bulletproof vest. What is our breastplate? What's the bulletproof of righteousness? Now, notice that you start with a belt of truth, because everybody in the world outside of Christianity thinks that the breastplate of righteousness is their own righteousness. They'll say things like, well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor, or I'm better than so-and-so. And therefore, this is an error. The breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness won for us by Christ. It's his righteousness, and we get dressed in that. For example, getting back to baptism, in Peter's sermon at Pentecost, the people realize they have killed the Messiah, and what shall we do? He says, be baptized and you'll receive two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings with him Christ's righteousness. The reason you're going to heaven is that you have within yourself Christ's righteousness, and God recognizes that you're on your way to heaven. Next is interesting, shoes for your feet. You can understand why Roman soldiers did not dress in sandals to do battle. A lot of times they were on rocky ground, and unless you're on smooth pavement, it's really hard to walk in sandals. So these shoes would be on, but why shoes? We've seen the belt is so you get the right analysis of reality, truth. The breastplate, Christ's righteousness. What was the purpose of shoes? Verse 15, Ephesians 6. Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You see, you are witnesses of Christ's death and resurrection, not just the historical event, which saves nobody, but the meaning, the interpretation of those events. And that's the gospel of peace. Believe it or not, when the angels came to the shepherds, peace on earth, that was at the incarnation and birth of Jesus. That peace came to fruition when he died on the cross and took upon himself your sins in order that you might not have to pay for your sins eternally. That's called the gospel. And by the way, it's the gospel that God uses to convert people. You can have someone like some of the Pharisees and scribes may have the whole Old Testament memorized, and yet they're not going to heaven. Because though they know the words of the Old Testament, they have no knowledge of the meaning. So that when Jesus came, they should have exclaimed, as did some, Simeon in the temple, for example, this is God himself. And instead, no, he's a carpenter from Nazareth. We don't need to listen to him. So the shoes for your feet, because we're in an evil world and we need to be ready to share the gospel of peace, and that's peace between you and God. Verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield. The shield what? What does that stand for? The shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What does that mean? Well, when was the first time that the devil shot darts at human beings? It would go back to Adam and Eve. These darts of the evil one was, no, you can eat from the tree, you'll become like God. Now, if Eve had simply said, no, God has commanded us not to eat of that, then she would have extinguished that dart of the evil one. The evil one referring, of course, to Satan. And that meant she had the shield of faith. What's faith? Faith is trust in the promises of God. And he made a clear promise. Eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that day you shall die. Which is what happened. Not physical death, but spiritual death. So we take the faith God has given us, and therefore, remember Jesus? The three temptations. Each one of them, Jesus extinguished by quoting verses from Deuteronomy. And that's what we talk about by extinguishing the evil one's darts with the faith, the shield we have been given. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That's kind of interesting, because where do you wear a helmet? You wear it on your head. And see, what the devil's trying to do is get rid of your head and have it in his kingdom. But who truly is our head? The Bible speaks about Christians being compared to the body of a human being. And who is the head? The head is always Jesus Christ. So therefore, the helmet of salvation, written upon it, is Jesus. He is our helmet of salvation, to keep from being pounded into our brain the wiles of the devil. Remember, all of this is to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's verse 11. Then, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, what's that? It is, and it follows right after it, which is the Word of God. You see, the devil comes and attacks us. We are able to use a sword to fight against him, and that sword is the Word of God. I've already mentioned that Jesus quoted passages from the book of Deuteronomy against the devil when he told him, oh, worship me and I'll give you all of this world. Or fall down from the height of the temple and you will receive the understanding of being the Messiah. Jesus contradicted all that with the Word of God. And so a lot of times people may tell you, well, I'm not so sure that you're going to heaven because you yourself confess you're a sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Then you take the Word of God and go to Ephesians that I'm saved by grace through faith, not on account of works. And the purpose of that is so that I don't boast about my own works and say, look, I'm saved because I'm such a wonderful person. Now, there's something else about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you wear the armor, it's normally for defense. So if an arrow hits you in the breastplate, guess what? It may not go into the body because the breastplate keeps it from plunging into your flesh. But the sword of the Spirit is not a defensive part of your armor. It's an offensive part of the armor. It's the part of the armor in which you attack. And that is the Word of God. Now, having all of this, there's one other item in 18 it talks about. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And what is the purpose of that? To keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, a lot of times we think of prayer as something for me. But it is also for everyone else in the world. We pray for them. Now, yesterday we saw a shut-in, and after providing her with the Lord's Supper, we then went ahead and had a prayer for her that her health would continue as best as possible. And if she was to be taken from this veil of tears, it would be a wonderful time when her spirit would then be with Jesus. See, that's what prayer does. Not only requests on your behalf, but on behalf of all other people, so that you are kept alert with perseverance as you make supplication for the saints. And Paul says in verse 19, and also for me. Now, why would he want to be prayed for? And here's his answer. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Remember, Paul was in prison. He was whipped. He suffered many indignities. And if he hadn't opened his mouth about Jesus, none of that would have happened. But that's what he was praying for, that he would be having the courage to open his mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And he even mentions, for which I am an ambassador in chains. See, he was in prison at the time, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. See, that's the will of God, that we're to speak God's word appropriately. Had a recent conversation with a woman who was having trouble seeing how homosexuality is a sin in light of the fact that she thought people were born that way. Well, I said, would you feel the same towards a pedophile? That a pedophile could become a member of the church because they're born that way. And of course, she wouldn't agree with that. And it began to open her mind, I believe, to recognize that just because you're born with specific sins that you participate in, you can't say that that's what God's will is for you. No, it's still contrary to the Word of God. And we had more conversation, and she became more and more Lutheran in her understanding of the necessity of making it clear to those who were doing gross sins that they needed to repent. This is how the breastplate of righteousness works. And particularly, remember, the very first part is the belt of truth. Because through the belt of truth, then, we can become bold to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, which alone saves. And so Ephesians 6 is a great passage to share with children to show the armor that they also have received in baptism. And we're going to continue our conversation with that armor on tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Pastor Mark Smith as we look at the hymn, By Grace I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening. Join with us tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.